Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Mary Griffith Show, powered each and every morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. But I have to confess, this morning I'm not powered by Harvest Ridge Coffee. I'm powered by Rockstar, which is another Harvest Ridge Pepsi product. And I had the pineapple orange this morning, and it's really good.
Are you jittery? That sounds caffeinated.
Well, it's got some caffeine in it. Let's just put it that way. Laura Sievert joins me, and we also have a special guest in studio. Elliot Sievert is here, and we'll maybe get him to talk in a minute. He's thinking about it. You know, do you know you get paid to be on the show? How much? Well, we'll talk later.
She's going to do it.
Okay. So, Laura Sievert, let's talk about the Adams County Bicentennial. Bring us your stories. This has been really well received. And this night, tonight, it's at the Clayton Public Library tonight and next Wednesday at Camp Point Public Library. And this is a great way for people to come out and bring their stories, their anecdotes, their artifacts. We need to collect these things for the Bicentennial.
Yeah, they're putting together a cool book, the entire history of Adams County. And you know, it's a little easier to find the Quincy history, so we're really trying to push it out in the county. So if you live out in the county somewhere, if you're somewhere out near Camp Point, out near Clayton, out in just any of the smaller areas that you're not quite sure where you're at, just out there.
You can go whether you live there or not. If you miss the chance in Golden, go, you know.
Yeah, and you can always come to Quincy Public Library for this too. But they're doing a special event where you can both bring your stories but then scan old photos to go with them. So there's somebody there with a good scanner who will scan your photos or your memorabilia so that they have a record of it. And then we have a company putting together an entire history of Adams County. We're working on ours at the office right now too, because they have asked some of the older nonprofits to be a part of it as well. So we'll do George Irwin's story, we'll do Arts Quincy's story, but we want your story as well. So 6 to 7:30 at Clayton today, and then like you said, next week at Camp Point, and anytime during business hours at the Quincy Public Library, you can bring in those stories, those family photos, anything interesting. They're looking for cool little tidbits, and they'd love to hear them. There will be a couple more events coming, and collecting all this information for the book that they're going to put out next year.
Okay, it's exciting. The anniversary of the Lincoln-Douglas debate that was here in Quincy is coming up. I believe it was actually held on the 13th. And tomorrow night, October 10th at 5 p.m., the Lincoln-Douglas Debate Museum at 128 North 5th has their monthly History Happy Hour. And one of my favorite friends, Mike Anderson, the Dulcimer guy, is going to be there. This is the 166th anniversary of the Lincoln-Douglas Debate in Washington Park. Tell us about History Happy Hour, and I'm sure you've probably heard Mike Anderson. I love this guy. Not only does he play the dulcimer, he makes dulcimers.
I didn't know he made them.
I think, yeah.
That's pretty rad. History Happy Hours have been really well received, and they have just redone the museum, and the museum has great new interactive exhibits and videos, have been really packing them in there for these cool events. I think it's both the wine and the subjects that are happening, so that make it exciting for folks. But like you said, Mike Anderson, the dulcimer guy, will have this interactive celebration, folk music from that era. He's an author, an educator, a musician, a Civil War enthusiast is what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
So lots and lots of really terrific information from this person. The museum is featuring the Turning Point, so they're talking about the turning point in American history that happened right here in Quincy. Admissions are free, but donations are appreciated at the museum. So if you can't get to History Happy Hour on Thursday nights, they're open about 10 to 4, Monday through Saturday, and totally worth a visit.
Totally worth a visit. And if you just want some relaxing music, Mike Anderson, he's really great at the dulcimer and a lot of fun. So that is Thursday night. Doors open at 5. Program starts at 5:30. There will be free refreshments that will be served. Quincy Preserves Fall Home Tour, and we've got some interesting homes on the tour. It's Saturday, October 19th, from 9 to 3. Lots going on that day. Tin Dusters are in town. The Sounds of Motown at the Oakley Lindsay Center. We've got the Oktoberfest, which is a marching band parade, but don't miss Quincy Preserve's Fall Home Tour.
That's right. The home tour is always well received, and you can do it in the morning, too. So if you're going to the Oktoberfest in the evening or the parade, you're still going to have plenty of time to get the home tour in. You know, Mary, the Hawkeye Marching Band is going to be at Oktoberfest.
The Iowa Hawkeye Marching Band?
Yes, ma'am. Did you not know this?
I did not know this.
Hold on. We'll come back to the preserves.
Oh, God.
Okay. This is, in fact, was not my idea, which
Elliot,
I love.
See the look on my face? Yeah. I don't like the Iowa Hawkeye.
Oh, but the marching band.
Are you Iowa State?
No, I'm Illinois. Iowa State, I can read and write. What are you talking about?
Well, Elliot and I are Hawk fans, and in fact, we're going to see the Hawkeyes tonight. We're going to go, what are we going to do tonight?
Hawk Talk.
We're going to Hawk Talk, which is the radio show up in Iowa City, and meet Kirk Ferentz. So.
You're going to Iowa City tonight?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, move on with home tours, and then we'll
home
come
tours,
back.
We'll come back to home tours, but I did want to say at Oktoberfest, the Iowa Hawkeye Marching Band is making their very first visit to Quincy, Illinois, and they are performing an exhibition for all these high school bands. So it's, I think they have 23 high school bands that will play all day long, and then the Hawkeyes end the night. And so, yeah, the almost 300 members of the Iowa Hawkeye Marching Band will do a huge exhibition. It's the first time we've had a Big Ten band to Quincy, so we're stoked. I'm actually their host. Of course, I'm their host, and Kathy Oakley and I are bringing them into town because she's a Hawkeye, too.
I'm disturbed on many levels, but I'm glad that we're going to have that level of band in Illinois. I'll be on your case to come next year.
You know, I think they might have. They have a home game this week, so they couldn't make Oktoberfest.
They can't make Oktoberfest. Quincy Preserve's Fall Home Tour.
That's
give
right.
Us the,
let
give
me
us
give
the
you
location.
The lowdown. Let me give you the lowdown. Locations, of course, it's going to start at the Lorenzo Bowl House. For the Preserve's home tour, that's that 1550 Main. That's also the ticket pickup location. So if you buy your tickets online at quincypreserves.org, that's where you pick them up. But day of tickets are available there as well. But the homes include 196 South 18th, 1624 Jersey, 2107 Jersey, 129 East, and 133 East Avenue. But starting at 9, each of these five homes gets open to the visitors, you can visit them in whatever order that you want. Each location's available to be viewed till 3. They're $20 tickets in advance or $25 online, and it preserves the, you know, all the proceeds of course go to the preserves. This is their biggest. They have a fall and a spring home tour, and these are their biggest fundraisers for the year as well.
Okay, and finally, the Starve a Vampire Blood Drive, which is next Tuesday, October 15th, from 11 to 4 at the Oakley Lindsay Civic Center. The Bleeding Arts sponsor this, and again, you are one of the premier donor collection for the Red Cross. Arts and our healthcare combined in one, and there is a Big Ten component to this collection as well, much to my dismay.
Yes, we'll just keep on pumping the Hawkeyes today because you can register the Big Ten across the country is in a competition really the blood supply is really low right now, mm-hmm. and they've had a really hard time getting younger people to donate. So they're doing a promotion, and you're supposed to be true to your school. Donate and then tell us which team you support in the Big Ten, and you'll be a mark in the column for that team, and there's going to be a big award, in fact, a trophy for the Big Ten blood donation. So you know that I'm going to donate, and you know that it's going to be Hawks. But we always do a great job here anyhow. We are number 227 right now. Our team
in
is
the nation.
In the nation out of 67,730 teams. So 67,000 teams, we are in the top one half of 1%. And we like to do a good job. We actually looks like we just beat University of Missouri. So that's my other alma mater.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're
black and gold are the only colors you could afford.
They really transferred,
so you just
really
transferred well. Yeah,
transferred well.
Okay, so that is next Tuesday. And don't forget to give blood. And if you can't decide which school to support, you can always put your vote in for Illinois. Now, Elliot Sievert is here. Elliot, we're going to ask you to talk on the radio.
Right.
I know.
How old are you?
10.
Okay, and you're very active in arts yourself. You play musical instrument.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, please.
The piano is okay. It's challenging sometimes, but it is really fun to play. And the trumpet is also really fun to play.
And so you play both those instruments.
Yes.
And, of course, you play piano in the marching band. That makes you very unique, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Are you excited about getting to go up to the University of Iowa tonight and be part of that show?
Definitely.
Do you feel that your mother is brainwashing you into being an Iowa Hawkeyes fan, or are you doing this of your own volition?
I'm doing this because of both reasons.
Oh, okay. So you like it yourself as well.
Yeah.
Now, do you think when you grow up, what do you think you'll want to be?
Engineer on space company. Now that I know, like, there's Blue Origin, SpaceX, and NASA, now I got, like, options.
So you can pick from any of those three employers. You're not tied down just to NASA.
I mean, like, there are other ones, mm-hmm. Those are the three I can really remember.
Sure. And you went to space camp this summer, I understand.
Yes.
Okay. So do you consider yourself to be an artist, or are you a scientist, or can you be both?
I could probably be both.
Will you be the first person to play the trumpet in space, do you think?
I mean, I did see this person play violin in space, so sure.
Why not? Okay. Well, keep it up on piano, and that's a skill you can always have.
Yeah.
And trumpet's also good because you can carry it around. Piano's hard to carry with you on your back.
Yeah.
But they usually have one anywhere you go, so that's good. Okay, well, good luck to you being 10 years old, okay?
Yep.
And do you want to say go Hawks? I'll let you.
Go Hawks, definitely.
He's a Bears fan too, Mary. Does that
help? Oh, good. That helps.
Yes.
We're playing. Are we? Hey, you want to go to England with me?
Sure.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Although we're probably going to lose because we're against Jaguars, remember?
Yeah, I know, but why do you think the Jaguars can beat us?
I don't know, but I think because we've been winning is because the first game they played, they won, and it was on my birthday.
Oh, okay.
Birthday luck.
You're the good luck for the Bears. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Elliot Sievert, accompanied by his manager, Laura Sievert, and again, child brainwashing. If you'd like to identify DCFS, she's taking him out of the state today to root for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And the Iowa Hawkeyes are coming next weekend. The entire Iowa Hawkeye marching band will be here. This is the first I've heard of it. You broke the news here.
I didn't know I was breaking it. Yeah, it's pretty exciting to have them here. And I think if you've never seen a Big Ten marching band, whether it's Illinois or Iowa or any of them, all amazing musicians, a wall of sound you're just going to want to see.
Okay, we're gonna see it all. Thank you very much, Elliot.
Yep. I have one question, though.
Yes.
How do you know you're not being brainwashed?
Oh. How'd you get to be an Illinois fan?
I am not a robot. I am not programmed by the University of Illinois Technology Department.
You really sold that.
Okay, thank you. We'll be back and talk about Bella Ease in just a moment. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're looking forward to learning a little bit more about Bella Ease. They're celebrating their 10-year anniversary with a gala on Thursday, November 7th. We'll talk about that more at a later date, but mark your calendars now and put that on your calendar. Bella Ease 10-year celebration Thursday, November 7th at the Town & Country Inn and Suites. They've also got a fundraiser coming up October 26th at Panera Bread's. All you have to do is stop by Panera Bread at 37th and Broadway and eat between 4 and 8 p.m. that night. And a portion of the funds, 25% of all sales, will be donated to Bella Ease. But the first thing we need to do is find out who and what Bella Ease is. So we have the founders of Bella Ease here. Get real close to those microphones. Got to get right up and talk big and loud. Cheryl will talk with you. Introduce yourself and tell us and I guess, Dennis, you'll hop in because your story is her story, too. How did this all come about, Bella Ease?
Okay. Excuse me. So I'm the executive director of Bella Ease. Dennis and I started it 10 years ago to basically keep the Teen Reach program in the community. It had been switched around to many entities, and we wanted it to stabilize the program. The Bella Ease was the names of our moms, so we combined them. And So for a few years, all we did was the Teen Reach program.
I think that's how I first became acquainted with you, through Teen Reach. Mm-hmm. But boy, has it grown.
Yeah. So in 2018, we became a family advocacy center, and that began our expansion. So basically, we started working with the parents and helped them make life changes so that the children could either come back into their home if they'd been removed by DCFS or actually remain in the homes. And so from that, we expanded into some workforce programs, and in 2022, we purchased a property at 7th and Broadway, and from then, we've basically tripled services and have now just a little under 40 employees.
Okay. Dennis, that microphone's way too low for your mic, so pull your, just push it up. There you go, buddy. How many employees do you have?
Just under 40.
Wow. See, I'm learning. I thought I knew about Bella Ease, but you guys have grown so exponentially over the time frame that I'm still not stuck all the way back in just Teen Reach, but I'm kind of stuck back, so I'm so glad you're here today. You have 9 programs serving almost 500 individuals. You do workshops. You have community events. You do food distribution. My gosh, I mean, you're going, 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 going. In fact, I gave old figures. You serve over 630 individuals in the fiscal year 24. Dennis Williams, as a winner with Cheryl of the Joe Bonansinga Award, why is Bella Ease important to you? Why is that on your heart to do this for your life work?
Well, I think the thing that you said is all the serving of the community. The other biggest part is I pride myself in saying is that we help broken people get unbroken. I think that's the factor of what we do in our community. When you look at those numbers, you're looking at people that are in poverty, people that are not in poverty. We recently had a family member that doesn't speak English, and we're helping them out with their baby and stuff like that. So we do cross all lines. One of the biggest important pieces that I think is we miss in our community is gathering community people with the school district. I'm proud to say that that's one thing that we do. We actually have a meeting with the school and parents to talk about things that the school doesn't know and the things that parents don't know. So we're bridging that gap of not allowing something to be not good come to be something that is good.
This is a piece that's been missing. Teen Reach reached out to the teenagers, and you tried to help them, but as soon as they left Bella Ease, they were back maybe in an environment that wasn't as supportive, or they went to school and people didn't understand their struggles, or their parents maybe through, you know, everybody wants to be a good parent, not everybody can be a good parent. And so the parents weren't communicating with the kids, the schools weren't communicating with the kids. So that's a perfect example of how you bring those three together, home, school, and the child themselves, who are young adults who are trying to make their own way, make their own decisions. You're really changing lives.
Yes, that is the biggest part right there is. And with the word that I like to use in this vocabulary is we are bringing parents that don't know how to be parents, that haven't been taught because the generations of losing parents, we've lost at least 3 generations. And then you throw COVID in the middle of that, you're drowning. And so we're trying to stop the drowning. We're trying to stop the things that everybody assumes that happens. We assume that parents ought to be parents. But you think about it. We had neighborhoods, right? Neighborhoods isn't neighborhoods anymore, where the neighbors will help you govern your kids or help your parents, right? Even when you talk rural area, we moved in the country not too long ago, and we watched the rural area come as a neighborhood. And so we're doing that same thing in community. So when you're talking about those numbers, that's what we're doing is. And Cheryl wrote these grants to be able to communicate what's the need of the community. And that's a big one.
Yeah, this grant writing is interesting because you can have the heart to help people, but if you don't have the money, it doesn't really work. And, of course, congratulations for having grant writing as a skill. And I know you've all were employed elsewhere before you started this love of your life. We mentioned Teen Reach, but you start young. You have tutoring and literacy programs for little kids, younger children, after school program help. One thing that's really kind of new that I'm aware of is you're partnering with John Wood to do more vocational training. So, okay, these teenagers, you're teaching them how to get some job skills, how to improve their grades, how to function in society where somebody will want to employ them, but they also have to be trained. And let's face it, it's hard to get to 48th and Harrison Street to go to John Wood, and it's hard to get sometimes to the vocational center for John Wood out on Cook's Lane. And so you have brought that down to Broadway downtown where people can walk to these. And you have all kinds of different classes there, don't you?
Yeah, Dennis mentioned bridges. We were fortunate that John Wood has recognized that our site specifically can be a bridge to the people for adult education for GED. In November of 2022, we started a GED program at our site. John Wood came, and they would teach the class for preparing for GED, and then we would offer transportation and child care for them while they were at preparing for the classes. In the first year, we surpassed the number of people that came to our site than actually attend at the college site. So Brian Renfro, the president, very supportive of our program and very invested in the people that we help. And he said, we need to do more. And so they went out. They actually got a Bridges grant that allows them now to occupy half of our 721 building. And the other half of it, besides moving their GED program there, so they actually have the space to continue to grow, they're also offering classes in CNA and truck drivers for the next 2 years at no cost to the people that take that. The goal being that people can actually go to the GED class and attend the CNA or truck driving so that once they pass the GED, they've completed those classes and can walk out into head of household positions. We've just yesterday actually applied for the second phase of the Bridges grants to even expand on those so they can add some additional services at our site.
Truck driving, definitely head of household right off the bat. CNA, a pathway to a better career, because often once you get your job as a CNA, wherever you work will pay for you to then get your LPN, RN, the sky's the limit. My guests today are Cheryl and Dennis Williams. They run Bella Ease, 10 years old this year, the motto to inspire hope and empower people by creating opportunities for positive change. I'm ashamed of my own ignorance. I don't know everything they do. We're going to continue this conversation, but we have to take a break right now. Head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets up there. This report is brought to you by Rex Battery. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and I'm here with Cheryl and Dennis Williams, and I've known them for a while. I don't know them well, but I've known them for a while. I see them at a lot of things I go to because they're always there caring about other people. And one thing that, you know, is an irritant to me as a Quincy native, when the Adams County Health Department wanted to build a new health department building, they wanted to build it way out in the woods, you know, out, you know, on, you know, like 54th and whatever. And a lot of people said, excuse me, who do you think you serve? I mean, if you're going to come and get a free immunization or vaccination, or you need to talk to somebody at the Adams County Health Department, you may not have a car. And I love it that you guys are embracing that you're downtown. You're where people live. And frankly, where a segment of our poor population lives. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, most people who are on welfare don't live on Peachtree Lane. And so, you know, they don't have to worry. They can get in their Cadillac and access whatever service they need. And this is a big part of you expanding to that Broadway location and working with John Wood. How important is that philosophically to you that you be, as you mentioned, Dennis said, neighborhoods are going away. Are you trying to form a new neighborhood?
Absolutely. The thing is that you said that is so vital is that neighborhoods is walking distance from needs. You had the old pop shops in the neighborhood. So in our neighborhood now, we're trying to provide different groups and different avenues for them to come. You know, we hope John Woods sees this whole block as that they need to buy it up and put that workforce right down here so the people can walk into that and just learn how to do the things. And what we do is, one of the things that's missing is child care. We provide child care, right? And we don't charge them for it. And that's huge for a parent to be able to not have to worry about how or where do I take my child to get my GED, to get a job. They can do it right at our facility.
Let's talk about that child care component because, you know, child care, obviously, as they're going to the class, which is a couple of hours. But is child care a barrier in your community, in the community? Do you see the availability of child care holding people back from actually working? Because if you're working a lower level job, you're not making that much anyway. And then not having child care that's available makes it, you know, even worse. How big a barrier is that? We just had the GREDF director, Kyle Moore, on, and he said that really child care and housing are two big, big inhibitors to our workforce right now.
Absolutely. We've recently had one of the child care centers close.
Yes. Do you think that will reopen? It'll have to be under new management, but...
No.
We don't know. We're hopeful. Yeah. We even have staff that were impacted by it. You know, we have young staff that are constantly dealing with the child care issue. We recognize it, understand it. And yes, we have... something called the working poor that I don't think that a lot of the community understand. People that come to us, many of them do have jobs, but when you're working a minimum wage, you just have enough sometimes to cover your bills, sometimes not even that. And so if you have one life circumstance that is beyond what you expect, now you're in the hole. And so, you know, what do? You need to come to someone for assistance. Child care, yes. There's such a need. There's waiting lists in the community. As Kyle said, you know, we have other barriers, such as for us, transportation. We recognize because we're in the neighborhood where they live that they can come to us for services. But when they go to get employed, we don't have public transportation after 6 o'clock. And so one of the things we've tried to do in our workforce programs is to begin to find a way to get them transported to both the second and third shifts. That's where if they're going into manufacturing initially, usually the jobs are. And if you're low income, one of your big issues is stable transportation. And so, again, that's one of our areas that we try to focus on. Housing, yes, we have a program called Rapid Rehousing. We've had some good partnership with landlords, but what's out there is minimal. And so to find housing when there isn't, that's just a whole other issue in the community.
We don't think about these things. You say the working poor, and I think sometimes we do not comprehend and understand what a struggle it is for so many people. When more than half of the students in the Quincy Public School District are eligible for free or reduced lunch, they are certified to be legally poor. Well, if the kid's poor, that means the parents are poor. So half of the people with children in Quincy are poor and are three paychecks away from kind of disaster. Now, what's going to turn that around? You guys have been around at this game for a long time. Obviously, better education. And I love what Absolutely. You're doing because you're saying, hey, look, whatever happened to you and knocked you around when you were a 12-year-old kid, a 15-year-old kid, a 20-year-old kid, grow up. You're 28 years old now. It's time to take the reins and get some help. Is that really one of the things that Bella Ease does? Is some of these parents of these young children, you're grabbing the parents, too, and saying, hey, look, you got to step up your game. You got to get into the game.
I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty of what you said is. I have this thing that I call realizing the real world. And I have no problem telling them that. And they're used to it. The thing is that people know about me is I've been in this for a long time. And so right now at Teen Reach, I got some of the kids that I had 15 years ago, right? And so my conversation with them is just like I was 15 years ago. And they say to me is, treat my child like you treated me, right? Don't hold no bars. Make them accountable. I don't think that we as a community holds our community accountable. Now, I don't know where you want to go with that, but I go with it like this. I don't care if you're in school or if you're at work. You still have to be accountable, right? And if somebody's not willing to tell you that and they want to coddle you versus telling you the truth, you're hurting our society. You're totally hurting it. I don't want to just give a handout. I want to give a hand up, but I want to teach them how to take that hand up. And so I think that we're in process of teaching people how to take that hand up. I think that's the biggest part of what we do.
The other aspect, or maybe the foundation of Bella Ease, is that all of our programming are mentor-based. So the people come through our doors because we have staff that have lived experiences, and we guide them through. There's people that come in for employment that don't know how to complete an application. They don't know how to go in for an interview. They may not have the clothes to go for an interview. They may not have what they need to start a job. Those are the kind of things that Bella Ease does, and we do it in every aspect of our programming. We do it through our family focus for the parents trying to make changes, but as I just said, we do it through our work focus. We do it through rapid rehousing. When the people come in and are homeless or could possibly be homeless, we do not just give them a rent check. We look at them, their lives, we help them make life changes. We follow them and say, what are you doing each month? Where's your budget? Do you have the job? Are you doing what you need to do? Because our staff have lived experiences, they can talk to the people in the way that they understand, and the people feel comfortable. That's part of what has made Bella Ease successful, is that those relationships we have with the people that come through our doors.
Well, we're out of time, and we're going to continue this conversation in the weeks to come. Bella Ease is the first organization to receive the Humanitarian Award, the Joe Bonansinga Award winner, sitting right here with me, 2023, Sherilyn Dennis Williams. Job services, job training, family advocacy, parenting classes, youth programming, community services, John Wood Partnership, they do it all. They're celebrating their 10-year anniversary, so mark that down on your calendars. That is going to be Thursday, November 7th, the big banquet, and also eat at Panera Bread. You know, I could think of such a great humanitarian I am. I can eat a Panera Bread on October 26th and help you out.
Speaking of Panera Bread, I have to say hi to the guys that's out there that we meet every morning. They said I had to come on Mary Griffith, and they're listening to you, Mary, and they said say hi to them. So hi, fellas.
Okay, hi from Dennis and Mary and Cheryl, and we'll be back to do it all again tomorrow.